We're finishing up this morning the series that we began with a new year, new direction, new decisions. And God has challenged us for 2016 to renew our focus upon Him and look to Him for a fresh and filling and to move forward in what is going to be a great year, I trust, for each of you individually. And for us corporately as the body of Christ here at Elevate, that as we seek God's direction and we make decisions in our commitment to Him, that He is going to bless us more than we can imagine and think. This weekend is also the time where we're finishing up our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I hope many of you have found it to be a time of, you know, whether you laid aside food or television or social media or whatever you chose, that it was a time of enthusiastic reflection upon your relationship with God and getting a hold of Him and finding that new direction for the new year. I know Nanette and I did different things during the 21 days, and this last week I gave up meat. And Nanette and Janae would tell you, I love meat. And whatever Nanette doesn't eat, I'll finish. And I had lunch with Aaron Brown this week at Logan's, and who knew they had a vegetable plate that you could buy? In the spirit of the new year, God leading us forward, in the spirit of finishing our 21 days of fasting, I draw your attention to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And Paul writes and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. 2016 is going to be a fantastic year for each of you and for us as a body of believers, Elevate. Fasting, there's a joy to it. As Paul says, he prays with joy. That's kind of the end result. It's not easy. It's not enjoyable sometimes to give up food or give up something you enjoy in order to draw closer to God. But He would assure us this morning that as we live in a life of possible loss or difficulty, of hardship, that we can have joy. I know in a congregation of some 400 plus that there are those of you that are struggling financially, living check to check, wondering how you're going to pay this month's bills. I know that in our midst there are some that are struggling in their personal relationship, in their marriage, that the honeymoon has long been over, and there's discord and heartache. Nanette and I have been married for 40 years, and God has really blessed me with a wonderful wife. And she doesn't know I'm going to share this, but we had Jackson, our grandson, Friday all day, so Janae, who we have a two-year-old grandson, Grayson, so she was home with him and hopefully getting some rest, so we took Jackson for the day. And so Friday night, we were taking him home after the whole day and supper and his bath and stuff. And coming back home from Janae's house, traveling on 469, it was dark, of course, and I was driving, and Nanette let me know that I was driving too close to the person in front of me, and that I should probably get over in the other lane so my headlights weren't shining on the back of their heads, and I disagreed with her, and she reiterated her opinion. And I did something you husbands should never do. Don't ever say, whatever. So the rest of the trip home from on 469 getting back to New Haven was kind of quiet. And it wasn't really joyous. But I had to apologize for saying that. You know, Paul is writing this letter to the Christians at Philippi, and he was a church planter like Pastor Kyle, and he went on 3 missionary journeys, as we see in the book of Acts. And on his second missionary journey, he planted the church in Philippi. And then on the 3rd missionary journey, he revisited it. Well, as Paul is writing to the Christians at Philippi, we see him now imprisoned in Rome for his faith in Jesus Christ. And as he is awaiting trial before Caesar himself, it's very possible that he will die. But Paul, throughout the letter of Philippians, talks about joy. And even with that situation, being imprisoned, chained between 2 guards, and not knowing if it'll end in his execution or not, he still had joy that could not be taken away. And so I would encourage you this morning and assure you that, yes, there's financial hardships. Yes, relationships can be trying, even parenting. Whether it's 2-year-old Jackson that's asserting his independence and saying no and being whiny, or whether it's a teenager doing the same thing. Whether it's a job you have that you really hate to go to work tomorrow morning, or whether you're dealing with health issues, God would assure you that today, in your relationship with him, in his involvement and intervention, that you can have joy that can never be taken away. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he wrote about joy, and there's 14 times that he spoke of joy or rejoicing. And Jesus Christ desires for you in 2016 to have the fullness of his joy in your life. I want to take a little bit of time this morning of contrasting happiness on the one hand with joy on the other. Happiness is external, and joy is internal. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our Declaration of Independence, our American dream, that I'm going to have a job where my boss is my friend. The tasks are challenging but rewarding, and I get paid a whole lot to do it. Happiness in the American dream is I've got a spouse that meets my needs. I've got children that are a blessing to raise and don't give me any problems. I've got a bank account that's overflowing. I've got the house with 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a sunroom, the white picket fence. I live in New Haven. I have a white picket fence. And it doesn't make me the happiest man in New Haven. We think of the American dream as something to attain and it makes us happy. And we look at it that everything on the outside has to be perfect in order for me to be happy. But in contrast to happiness that is external, joy is internal. I want to share with you a verse from 2 Corinthians. It's not in your notes. Paul gives a description of the journey and flow of his Christian experience and his walk with the Lord and his serving Jesus Christ. And he says that in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. I don't know if I'd want to be a Christian if I had to go through all that. But Paul did. He went through that, and yet in writing to the Christians at Philippi from that jail in Rome, he had joy. It filled his heart, and it overflowed in his life. How did Paul respond to all these hardships? Again, in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." If Paul were standing here instead of me this morning, he would tell you that no matter what troubles you face outwardly, be assured that you can have God's joy inwardly in you today. Amen. Secondly, I want to contrast happiness that's based on circumstances and joy that is based on Christ. And this one you might want to write down because there's actually three contrasting things. So write that one down. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on Christ. You know, the United Nations has declared March 20th to be a day that we can all be happy. It's the International Day of Happiness. And I can't wait. The word happiness comes from the Latin word hap, which means circumstance or luck. In other words, I'm happy if everything works out. If everything is perfect, then I'm going to be happy. Have you ever heard the expression, "I'm doing pretty well under the circumstances"? God does not want any of us to live under the burdens and dictates of our circumstances. He wants us to live in victory on top of our circumstances with joy. Happiness is based on circumstances, but joy is based on Christ. Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Have you ever heard anybody say, when they're making a decision or a choice or taking an action, and they'll say, "God wants me to be happy"? And sometimes people even say that when what they are choosing to do or the direction they're choosing to take is contrary to Scripture. And they say, well, God wants me to be happy. I did a word study this week in preparation for this morning. I'd like to share a little bit of it with you. In the New Testament, there are 8 times where the word happy or happier or happiness is used. Only 8 times. You want to know how many times joy is used? Not 8, not 80, but 111 times joy or joyfully or rejoice is used. God wants us to be joyful. I went further and I tried to do a study on the New Testament or the Greek definition for joy, the words that are used, and I discovered something I didn't even know before. The words that are used for joy and rejoicing and joyful are chara, kairo, and synkerio. They mean to be glad. So joy does touch our emotions. It means to take pleasure in. In other words, what our focus is, what our endeavor is a source of our joy. And then finally, one of the Greek words it means to thrive. To thrive in joy. Now I went further, and the Greek word charis, which joins together with kara, kario, synkaria. Charis is the word we use and translate into grace. God's grace is his unfailing love that reaches down to you and me. God's grace is his loving kindness that leads us to turn from self and sin in this world and turn back to him. God's grace is his compassion and mercy upon us when he sees us in our need and struggles. God's grace is his goodness and blessing towards us. We don't deserve it. We can't merit his grace or earn it. But he loves us in his grace. And so I found it really interesting that the words for joy have the same root as the word for grace. What does that tell us? That our joy comes in response, our response to God's grace. No matter what the circumstances are, we can respond to God's grace in Jesus Christ, and you and I can have real joy. Again, Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians. It's only four chapters long. It might take you about 45 minutes to read it, and I'd encourage you this week to read it. Again, he speaks in there 14 times concerning joy and rejoicing. And here's where he got his joy. First of all, he rejoiced in the Lord, in his relationship with Jesus Christ. That was the basis, the foundation for his joy. He also found joy when Jesus was preached. He found joy in prayer, talking, interacting with God, listening. He found joy in the fellowship of Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. We share the bond of faith and fellowship and unity. Paul even found joy in his sacrifice, being in prison. And even in contemplation of his freedom being through the avenue of execution, he had joy because then he would be with the Lord. We are challenged this morning to find our joy in Christ. We are challenged this morning to find our joy in the things of God and in our experience of with him together. The third contrast I want to make this morning between happiness on one side and joy on the other is that happiness is based on chance and joy is based on choice. Happiness is based on chance. You're banking on everything going well. But you know what? Not everything is in our control. Our son Jason moved from Philly to Tampa about 3 months ago. He's a computer geek, hardware, software, troubleshooter. He's worked most of his years since college in entrepreneurial environments. And he thought he'd look for a different avenue. And so the corporate life, he got a job with MetLife, the big insurance company. So he moves down to Tampa, and it's really a beautiful fit of his skill set and the work that he's doing. And then a week ago or so, he found out that MetLife is going to divest itself of about a quarter of its assets and departments, and it may be his. And so, well, you know, forming a new company, they may leave things the way they are, or they may move things to Charlotte. And if they move things to Charlotte, Carolina, one of the Carolinas, then everybody has to reapply. And so it was really a punch in the gut. But as we Skyped with him, you know, we tried to encourage him because he trusted in the Lord in the whole process of this move and job search and everything. And he was really thankful and praise God for it. And here it looked like, you know, what's going to happen now? So there are things out of our control. And while happiness is based on chance, joy is placed on is based on our choice. A couple of weeks ago, our attention, or much attention, was drawn to the Powerball, you know, and three drawings that went from 5 to 9 billion, 900 billion to 1.5 billion. And, you know, if you won, you're happy. But we all know what the chances of that were. It was like 1 in 292 million. But our joy is based on choice. It doesn't matter what chance or luck or faith, or excuse me, chance or luck or fate brings our way. It doesn't matter what happens in this world that we have no control of, or what even Satan throws our way. It doesn't even matter if in the wisdom and providence of God, he allows us to go through some hardships. But we have in Christ the power, the freedom to choose joy. One of Pastor Kyle's favorite verses is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." Today, let's choose life. Let's choose Christ. Let's choose joy. No matter what, God assures us that today you can have joy. We've studied Philippians. We've focused on the secrets of joy. It's God's desire that you and I come to the place that no matter what happens, we can have joy. And Paul prays a prayer that I pray for you today. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul prayed this prayer, and I pray this prayer for you this morning, that your life would be enveloped in the love of God, of his love for you and your love for him, that you have wisdom and discernment in facing the challenges of life, to see God, that to be able to be aware and see how God work through in victory. I pray that you, each of us, would have righteousness of heart and character, and that we live for the glory of God. Paul prayed this prayer because he knew that if this was worked out in their lives at Philippi, and if this is worked out in our lives today, we'll have joy, full, overflowing, enduring joy. Difficulties do abound, and life throws us all some curves, some that we're not even expecting. There are times when the burdens do seem so weighty, but God declares to you this morning that you can have joy in him. So what should we do? Number one, get over the distraction of what happened. When we face problems, difficulties, and situations, and they've tripped us up or we're working through them, sometimes we can't get past it. There are disappointments in life that we carry with us all too long. How often have you wasted time in analyzing what went wrong instead of putting it behind you? Notice what Paul did. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. It wasn't Paul's plan to be arrested in Jerusalem and taken all the way to Rome in chains to stand trial before Caesar and possibly die for his faith. That wasn't his plan. But God was working something else out. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He was going to achieve his will. And Paul could see that what was happening to him actually served to advance the gospel. He got to share the faith with the guards. The scriptures speak of him sharing the faith even with servants and people in the household of Caesar. Most of you that know my story Though we came to know the Lord as a teen, Lord blessed me with a beautiful wife, Nanette, a godly wife. We pastored in Alaska and Wisconsin, and that last pastorate in Janesville did me in, and I quit back in 99. And within a couple of short years, my disappointment turned into a deep discouragement. My self-doubt turned into self-loathing. And I got farther and farther away from God. I had an anger. I had an impatience. I was a vulgar man. I was a hypocrite. But on my 54th birthday, in a Sunday morning church service, Jesus Christ healed my heart. And he restored my joy. So don't get bogged down in endless whys. Instead of asking why, ask what. What now is God doing in this situation? What now is his purpose? What now does he want to show me? What now does God want to do through my life in this? And I can tell you, by my bad example, that God can give the grace to see you through. That God can give you the grace to restore your joy. Because God's grace, charis, is linked to kario, joy. Not only are we to get beyond the distractions of what has happened in our lives, but he challenges us to discover new opportunities. In Philippians, Paul writes, and he says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. His brothers and sisters in Christ, seeing Paul in chains, seeing his example, seeing what he was going through, chose to stand beside him and preach Christ. God can take your obstacles and turn them into opportunities. God can take your setbacks and use them as step-ups to moving forward in Christ. I encourage you, you know, we just got through the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Continue to develop that devotional life. We started a new year with, and many of you are using Bible plans, reading the Bible through the year. Develop that devotional life of getting into God's Word and allowing Him to tenderly speak to you through it, of developing that prayer life, talking, conversing, listening, building that relationship. We have small groups that are starting out in a couple of weeks where, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can encourage one another and support one another and build one another up. So participate in one of those. We have Growth Track and the Dream Team. You know, joy comes from serving. I don't know what it was, the prayer and fasting, getting in, starting to develop again, that reading God's Word on a daily basis, studying this. I had a great week. It's when we can serve and try to be a channel and a blessing to others that we get joy out of it. I had lunch, as I mentioned, with Aaron Brown this week. And, you know, the monthly Servolution on the third Saturday of the month an opportunity to work together as brothers and sisters in Christ and to get out into the community in various and different many ways and make a difference. And if any of you know Aaron Brown, he is a joyful man. So discover new opportunities in your walk with the Lord and make use of them. Number three, focus on what really matters. Now, I would not diminish the burdens and the struggles and the battles that we face in our congregation, whether it's dealing with a job or that relationship with your spouse or dealing with the kids or anything, health issues, whatever it is. We would not diminish that. But focus on what matters. What's going to matter 100 years from now? What's going to matter in the light of eternity? What is really important? It's interesting, Paul here, he's preaching the gospel he's in prison and restricted in chains, and yet he writes in Philippians chapter 1 this, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." In spite of the hardships, the struggles, the battles that this world, that Satan throws our way, if we will focus on what really matters of our relationship with Jesus Christ, our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, being open to being an avenue of God's grace and blessing to those about us, God can give us joy. The ultimate joy Paul finds in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Basically, he is saying, there's nothing that can steal my joy. For when you know Christ, you're in a win-win situation. I know some of you are going through a lot of difficulties. I know the enemy is attacking on many sides. But the Bible declares that we can defeat the enemy. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." In the book of Revelation, that last generation of Christians, he's saying that they chose not to love their lives. They didn't let life control them. They didn't put all their stock in this life. But instead, they died to self, they died to sin, they died to the world, they were living for the Lamb, and by His sacrifice, by His power and glory, they were victorious. God would assure each of you this morning that you can have joy. Joy that overflows. You can have the victory that comes in Jesus Christ, knowing Him. I know there are some here today that earth is taking its toll. But joy comes when you respond to God's grace. Joy comes when you open up your eyes and your heart to the eternal, to grasp hold of what is truly meaningful and satisfying. Joy comes when you put your trust in Jesus Christ and give Him your life. I'd like you all to close your eyes and bow your heads. First of all, I'd ask this morning that if there's anyone here that you know the Lord, but the struggle has grown hard and you've lost some ground, and you want that joy back. That joy is in Jesus Christ and renewing your relationship with Him. So So if there's anyone here this morning that feels the tug of the Holy Spirit and says, I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ, with every eye bowed and every eye closed and every head bowed, I'd like you to raise your hand. You want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ and have that renewed joy in Him. I see that hand. Thank you. See that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you very much. God's blessing on you. There may be some of you that's, or someone this morning who's, you know, the gospel's new to you. This stuff about Jesus Christ and His love for me and the difference He can make in my life if I turn my life over to Him as Lord and Savior. If you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, but this morning you'd like to start one, I'd like you to raise your hand. Elevate, I'd like us to pray this prayer. And if it's your desire this morning to ask Jesus Christ in your heart, join with us. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. And I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for living my life my way. Today I invite you to be Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Give me the power to change. Help me to experience your joy. In your name, Jesus, I pray.